The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, the good news is we have a functioning airport. Well, a functioning runway for that matter. Just the Big Four is on. And all sorts of questions were asked about gritting. And do you get gritted, by the way? Obviously, the main arterial routes got gritted, but lots of places didn't get gritted. I just wonder, did you take, was it people power? Did you go to the yellow bins and do it yourself? And maybe that's what we have to look forward to for the next few years then. Do it yourself with the yellow bins. Next month, the budget's going to be presented to Tim Wolfe for members' approval. And Jason Morehouse, the Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, has had basically chairs the Timwell Committee and basically told the government the practice of continuous borrowing is just plain wrong. That's Mr. Morehouse. I just wonder what your thoughts are as we head towards the budget and what we do with our money. And first on the line today, it's Howard. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you.
Just yesterday's, well, you could term it as a fiasco with the schools closing. Then I heard on one of your programmes this morning, I think it was the news, 11 o'clock, there's about two dozen sit down and decide who is going to be able to go to work and who's not within the government. What sort of idiotic system is that? The people will say, I remember used to go to school, walking down, we'd damn near waist high in snow, and the teachers would turn up and everybody would be quite happy. But the teachers now, when they said yesterday that they wouldn't be coming in, or well, the teacher didn't say that, the government said not to come in, did the teachers stay at home? Or were they out wandering around? Because where I live, the children were out having the times of their life coming down the hill in front of us
on
their sledges.
I can tell you that, I mean, as they didn't get to know really until well gone 7 o'clock on Monday, a lot of the teachers were heading to school or some were in school as well. So a lot of the teachers weren't best pleased by it all.
Well, I wouldn't be myself, but one of the things that the government come up with, that they are health and safety, the safety of their teachers and the safety of the children are priority, you know, which is understandable to an extent, but how did you get up to Manx Radio yesterday?
I drove.
Well, that must have been a difficult situation because it wasn't the best of places. But this is what is so farcical about it. The teachers, I'm not saying every one of them, but quite a big percentage of them wouldn't have turned in. It's an extra day's holiday after the Christmas. But imagine the same thing happening to the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors. I'm sorry, but it's a bit of snow out there. I can't go in. You find your pills in a box on the wall just down the road. And, you know, the fire service. I went out. I was in town yesterday. Went to the town hall. The town hall staff were in. I went down to Tesco. They were in. The pharmacist was in. It's not the government's place to tell people how to get to work. When they arrive at the premises, they are then at their place of employment. And that's when the schools will take over their security and safety.
Why do you think why has it come to this then, Howard?
I don't know. Is it anything to do with the unions? Is it something, because none of the others, the parents are responsible to get their children to school. The teachers are responsible to get themselves to work, same as you did yesterday, and I did, and a lot of other people did. But the teachers, they shut the schools down and say, that's it, carte blanche. And that was seen to be the only facility that seemed to be shut down in any numbers. And it happens every time you get a couple of flakes of snow. And it's rather annoying because I used to go down to work in rain, hail, snow, everything. And the other people did at the airport. And we had some sorry days down there, but we couldn't turn around and say, I'm sorry, but it's not safe. There's only one day, can I say this in all honesty, one day where the wind was that strong, nothing moved. And I know for a fact, and I know the captain of the aircraft that went out, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon before the first aircraft got off the ground at Runnersway. But you were talking about 90, and I think it was over 100 mile an hour on Snaefell. It was definitely unsafe. You could hardly stand up. But that same thing when the Solway Harvester went down. I went in that night to refuel the aircraft. I was there till 4 o'clock in the morning. And those lads and lassies that were flying those planes, they didn't say, oh, it's too windy, we can't go out. They went out. So did the teachers that didn't come in, were they just having a day of rest? And I said to my wife yesterday, I wonder how many of these have just come back from a skiing holiday in Switzerland. You know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the decision was made by the department. Actually, I think it was made by Home Affairs.
There's about 20 of them.
Yeah.
There's a fire service, the ambulances and everything. And it's a camel's a horse designed by a committee, and that's what we had yesterday. Everybody else is working except a percentage of the schools, or the schools are shut, but a percentage of the teachers went in. And I was speaking yesterday to the caretaker of the school by us, and she was doing a grand job. She shut quite a number of the gates and had dedicated areas cleaned, salted, for people and children to go in. And when our great-grandson was at school, St. Thomas's School, when the weather was inclement, they didn't go out into the playground, which is what they wouldn't have done yesterday. They went and stayed in the classroom, and they watched a film on their lunch break or whatever it was. They didn't go out, so they were still within a safe environment. But if the government is saying the school is not a safe environment, then there's something radically wrong.
Well, we don't know exactly what the rationale was, or you know, who was at danger and what the danger threshold is, or what have you. But well, as you say, I mean, that's also, it sends a message through to the children, in that you know you can have a relative, and it was a relatively small amount of snow yesterday.
Oh, and I drove into town,
and suddenly that's dangerous.
Yeah. It's health and safety gone mad. And there's somebody in there that used to be, well, look, the chap that used to be head of the DOI, Nick Black, he was on the Isle of Man here as senior health and safety officer originally. I remember him. I remember him coming here. And from that point onwards, health and safety got ridiculous. And you couldn't sneeze without the whole world having a jab. But this here is where the, as I say, everybody else is functioning normally. I was in the Tesco, staff were in there. I was up with my pharmacist, they were there. The bank, I went into Barclays down on Victoria Street, they were there. The town hall were open. It was only the schools that shut. And somebody, somewhere within government, made the wrong decision. And if they said, right, we're going to open the schools, if you want to come in, yes, if you don't, phone in, and it'll be taken as part of your leave. But it's, you know, it's a regular occurrence now. A couple of snowflakes and the island comes to a halt.
All right. Okay. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Thanks now. I must give a special mention, by the way, how I was talking about driving in and what have you. And the good thing is when I drove in yesterday, nobody else was on the road, which was fortuitous. But I must say, pay tribute to our own Judith Leigh. Sunday night in the lounge with Judith. Judith on Sunday, it was very, very frozen on Douglas Head Road. And Judith walked. She parked down at the bottom of Head Road, because it's quite an incline on Douglas Head Road, and Judith walked up the whole, and she wasn't even cold, she said. She got worn out driving walking up, and was so hot with it. Anyway, so congratulations to Judith for providing a service on Sunday night, having walked up the entirety of Head Road. No health and safety there, is there? Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, I agree. Everything is what Howard said. I do notice, though, some somewhat strange wording in our warnings these days. You've heard the expression, amber weather warning in force.
Yeah.
How can you force a warning? Is this some sort of a subliminal command? I mean, if it's an amber weather warning, it's hardly in force then, is it? But you always hear that expression. Is this some sort of a psychological play on us when you see the word force? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know the difference, to be quite honest. We've got yellow warnings, amber warnings, and red warnings. I mean, is there a crimson warning, a stripy warning?
Well, I know. It's a bit like the weather maps, isn't it? A few years ago, everything was green with a sun sign on it, and now it's all crimson and red and purple and white and all this kind of carry-on. So, I don't know. They seem to be playing with our minds a bit, with colours and wording and all the rest of it. But yesterday's 5 o'clock update programme on Manx Radio, Beth Espy asked exactly the right questions of the interim airport director, Jeff Pugh.
I think she'd been listening to Man in Line.
It did seem that way. Well, Jeff Pugh has basically confirmed what you and I were talking about yesterday. Ronaldsway now only has eco-friendly ice prevention fluid available. In fact, he used the word available to us, is what he said. Namely, the potassium acetate, which is what we talked about. Not the far more effective propylene glycol-based de-icing fluids, like Glycomex, which is... it's actually listed on the aerospace material specification number AMS1435E. So it is legal to put that on the runway and use it. That breaks up the ice after it has formed, which the stuff they've got now can't do. But ironically, the aircraft de-icing fluid that's used here is the proper stuff. And that works in seconds. I think a lady yesterday said when she was in Missouri or St. Louis Airport, it was a few minutes and Bob's your uncle, the ice is broken off. So if Ronaldsway gets more overnight weather conditions like we had the other night, forming ice, the same problem is going to happen again and again. And this is something that Howard said. Is there someone in a committee that has decided that we can only use the eco-friendly ice anti-icing fluids, not the de-icing fluids that we should be using for the runway?
And also, what's the threat in glycol then? Why do we have to use the eco-friendly stuff and not the stuff that actually works?
Well, the funny thing is, if you look back at what they were using some years ago, ethyl glycol, that one is quite toxic, but they went to propylene glycol, which has all kind of the same kind of, the melting points and stuff, and the freezing points are minus, 70 degrees. But propylene glycol in its pure form, I mean, that's used in cakes, muffins, pastries, chewing gum, salad dressings, ice cream. You know, it holds moisture and it stabilizes texture in food.
It's used in food?
So, propylene glycol, yeah. I mean, obviously, the stuff that's used on the runway will have some additives, things like anti-corrosion things for the aircraft. Because, I mean, it's a bit like if you use... calcium chloride on the roads, which is basically the type of rock salt that we're using. I mean, you get a lot of corrosion in metals and things, so they have to make sure that the aircraft aren't rusting away.
Yeah.
But it seems that, like Howard said, there's somebody or a committee somewhere that has decided to take away our ability to break up the ice using the chemical that we used before. But, I was thinking about what is this environmental risk if you were to, say, de-ice the airport runway with the proper stuff, especially when you consider that at the moment I understand that they're adding new filter drainage systems in underneath the airport runway at the moment. So if you look at, say, the volume of seawater Because from what I understand, a lot of the runoff of water off the airport runway goes up to Derby Haven in the bay. If you run the numbers, you're looking at about 9,500 times the amount of seawater than the amount of fluid that's going to come off on a, you know, just to get the runway cleared once. And we wouldn't be using it that often.
Yeah.
So it seems that the potential environmental impact is being overstated in order to forbid the rapid clearance of ice at Ronaldsway now, which is going to cause inevitable flight cancellations every time we get these weather conditions. So I don't know. I think we might need to just have another think about the de-icing strategy at Ronaldsway
Who's speaking up for the passengers and the people who bring freight in? Who's speaking up for, you know, the people who actually use the airport? I mean, I understand. We all know the fact that we need to mitigate environmental risks and what have you. But we're talking about people's lives and money. I mean, many people are thousands of pounds out because of flights that were missed on Monday and connecting flights that weren't taken.
Yeah. And the implication is, are they going to have to fork out, you know, let's suppose they went on the boat and they had to spend, you know, 100 and whatever quid on the train down to Gatwick to catch an ongoing flight or Heathrow or wherever they were going. And this is all about the fact that somebody has decided not to use a glycol product which is licensed to be used on runways, which works perfectly well because it works in a different way and destabilizes in between the water molecules and just breaks it up, you know, really well. Is that decision now resulting in people significantly out of pocket because they've lost the ability to de-ice the runway with the proper stuff?
Well, it will be interesting to know. It will be interesting to know where the liability lies, because if some clever so-and-so has decided that's what's going to happen and it impacts people's holidays, journeys, and the fact they then have to spend a lot more money, then surely that's that person's decision and surely it will be attributable.
Yeah, and we've got quite a way to go yet. I mean, you know, March, April, we've had snow in the past. I mean, if it was my decision, I think I'd be getting quite a few thousand litres of Glycomex on the boat here so that they have the option to spray it on the runway. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't do it, this happens again. If you get a 4 o'clock in the morning dump of snow or whatever and it forms ice, you're going to have the same problem again and again because the stuff they've got isn't up to the task.
I'm sure there's a committee pondering this as we speak, Julian.
I think so.
All right. Yeah. Good to hear from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, 22 minutes past 12, and Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
Happy New Year, Andy.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, indeed. Did Santa come with a full sack for you this year?
Well, I don't know. I saw something. I can't remember what it was.
It must have been Mrs. Winter drafted up for you. Just a few things there. Just touching on what Julian was saying there. I'm not going to go over it again. But looking at flights of Glycomex and them products, I think he had a fair point yesterday. Obviously, someone thought it was relevant to bring up because Head of News done the interview with Jeff Pugh. But again, as you said there, this point of why is this product now being used? And we are suffering. It seems going back to a net zero climate change type of agenda. And is it relevant? I mean, has someone just decided this without looking into it properly and just being told by a higher authority that that's all they can use? And looking at videos that some chap had put on, which is it's being very well looked at now, of Broadway the other night, and the chaos going up and down Broadway of cars. And it seems to be very much a lack of proper gritting on arterial routes like that. Surely that road going right the way up to Williston from the promenade is an arterial route for
people.
Well,
of course it is. I mean,
crazy.
Broadway is, of course, it's an arterial route.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, the amount of traffic, and just watching it, it was just funny to watch, Andy, but, I mean, it's kind of soul-destroying if you're trying to get home and your car's abandoned or you've got to slip and slide back down. It was a comedy show, but I'm just wondering why the arterial routes are not being treated and looked after. I find that quite strange. So again, you know, there's questions to be asked there of you know, when it wasn't a surprise. I mean, I was telling people the week before you're going to get a massive snow dump. I mean, you know, the weather forecast I'm looking at here, it's showing that quite clearly coming over, and everything's relevant to what happens up in Canada and up that end, because you get it, you know, the tail end going over the Atlantic, and all my friends have got snow plows to get through their driveways up there. So again, relevant to what Howard was saying, you know, we get a little bit of snow and the schools close down. You go up to the top end of America and up into Canada, and these people are used to that. You know, the snow is up over your knees up there, and you know, they still go to school. So I'm just, you know, just wondering, you know, is it health and safety gone mad? Absolutely agree with the other two callers. The other point I wanted to bring up as well was I'm noticing the child welfare system in the UK is now asking or trying to deliver digital IDs for all newborns. So I just wanted to put that out there to people and see what response we get from people here. And if the government here has any ideas of carrying this forward, looking at all the new positions that they're creating for ID people within government, are they wanting to explore this in the Isle of Man? And, you know, what people think of this digital ID for all newborns that they're trying to bring into the little communist labour society that we have at the moment that's going on. The other thing I was looking at as well that is come to the fore. Ivermectin seems to be back in the throw in America.
In what way?
I remember this. Well, remember this discussion going back from COVID, Andy, and we talked about ivermectin being a cure for COVID at that time. And ivermectin was completely taken off the shelves in America. You couldn't get it anywhere. You had to go to Mexico to get ivermectin, completely taken off the shelves. And lo and behold, in the last, I'd say 4 months, 5 months, maybe more, ivermectin is now everywhere. You can get it online, you can buy it, you can get it sent through the post. They're now saying it's the thing that, you know, it helps parasites, which is actually a thing that Courtney Hedden says quite a lot in natural.
Well, that's what it's, I mean, ivermectin is an anti-parasitic medication. It always has been.
It always has been, yes, and it was repurposed. I believe it was for humans to start with, and then repurposed for animals, and now it's repurposed again. You've got two different types, but they're now saying the treatment for cancers and likes of COVID and stuff like that. So they're pushing it again now, and I find it quite bizarre that it was taken off during the time when they wanted to promote vaccines, and now it's the greatest thing since sliced bread again.
When you say they're pushing it, who's pushing it?
Well, the industry is pushing it. The people that are actually are into the ivermectin. But like I say, you know, if you tried to get that anywhere during the COVID, you couldn't get it. It was taken off, and everyone was calling it a horse drug, and you know all the talk about it back then, because I was on the radio often enough about it. But now it's back in favour.
Okay.
So I just scratched my head at that one, Andy. We'll see.
The avoidance of doubt, neither you nor I are medically trained, just in case anybody gets any ideas.
That's right. Okay. And Dr. DIY is not medically trained either.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Andy.
Good to see you. 28 minutes past 12. I'd like to thank the Isle of Man Creamery, says Neil in Douglas, the delivery drivers, for all their hard work over the past few days. And thank you for that. And if the Isle of Man Creamery could get to Manx Radio, we could have a cup of tea as well. I agree with previous callers that pensioners are a nuisance to the government, says H. The tax system actively discriminates against them because they have no mortgage or rental costs. Many have spent a lifetime working and paying off a mortgage, usually on fairly modest property. And some have no other income except their pension. The tax system makes no allowance for this, so high tax bills are punishing pensioners who have no mortgage cost to balance against their income. Do we want our children walking on pavements where cars are sliding around? I think shutting the schools was the right decision. A note in from Helen, who just said, but the thing about the Isle of Man is it can be very different from one end of the Isle of Man to the other. Witness today, it was very mild in Peel, and obviously it was colder, the higher you got. So really, do they have to close all schools, or is this one size fits all? Thanks also. I got a note in from... And it's Sue, who just wants to know, is anybody recycling Christmas cards? Is there anywhere where you can send Christmas cards? Anybody who's recycling or repurposing Christmas cards? Obviously, lots. It's big night, of course, tonight, 12th night. Take the tree down, take the trimmings down, get rid of all the cards. And if there's anybody who is repurposing Christmas cards, please, by all means, do get in touch rather than flinging them into the bin. Let's see what we can do with them. Right, the interim airport directors explained the process at Ronald's Way when there is significant disruption. Over the weekend and on Monday, a number of flights were cancelled due to ice on the runway. Here is the interim airport director, Jeff Pugh.
We take advice from the Met Office, and we also discuss internally within the airport. And so over the weekend, we were affected by the very cold temperatures and ice. And that was slightly different because we didn't see any snow, but the ice itself, which is one of the more difficult things to tackle with the chemical treatments that are available to us. But then obviously we've seen the added complexity of snow and hail that has settled. We have two chemical compounds that we use. We use those on the aerodrome surfaces, the runways, taxiways, and the apron. One is a fluid chemical treatment, which is a potassium acetate based solution that's used on the runways and taxiways. And we can do that in advance, and we can also add it on top of it. And the issue that we had on Friday and Saturday is that there was a lot of surface water. And of course, these chemical treatments can be washed away in those circumstances. And when that treatment is put down on top of snow and or ice, it's not as effective. It will work, but it takes some time for it to have its effect. The other treatment that's available, which we use in and around the apron and the aircraft stands, is a pellet, a solid pellet, which is a sodium acetate based material. And the reason why we use that as a pellet is because the spreaders that are used to put the chemical treatment down on the aprons and taxiways are dispensed using large spray bars that are attached to our tractor units, and those can't get into the nooks and crannies around the aprons, so those can be spread by hand if necessary. The way in which airports treat snow and ice has changed significantly. The old products, environmentally damaging though they are, they were immensely effective at clearing snow and ice and preventing it from settling in the first place. But of course, we are right next to the Derby Haven Marine Nature Reserve. We do have to be conscious about all of our activities and how they interact with the environment.
There he is, interim airport director Jeff Pugh, talking about how they mitigate the problems with... I just wonder, is this going to happen in the future then? If we're not using the stuff that breaks up the ice, what happens in the future? The government shuts schools and many teachers either go to work if they can or work from home. Like other employees, plenty of paperwork for teachers to catch up on, says S. And Paul in Castletown, you mentioned yesterday Ronald's Way only has a short runway. In fact, it's 2,100 metres in length, 186 metres short of Liverpool. Not as long. Over 2 kilometres clear of ice and snow for aircraft to land on at 130 miles per hour. Not an easy task, says Paul in Castletown. No, it's not an easy task, but it's one they've done for years. So let's not kid ourselves. This is not splitting the atom. This is something that has been done routinely and effectively hitherto.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Housing, benefits or employment issues, faulty goods, bad workmanship, financial problems and relationship breakdowns. We all run into difficulties in life, and it can feel like there's no one who can help you sort them out. But at Manx Citizens Advice Service, we can help. As an independent charity, we offer free, confidential support covering all sorts of areas. You don't need an appointment. Just call in at Promenade Church, Lock Promenade Douglas, or call 366-338. Open Tuesdays from 12:30 till 3 and Fridays 10 till 12:30. Manx Citizens Advice Service. Your advice service. Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
B&B, 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 yeah, B&B. The winter sale is on now, so get down to B&B.
This winter, warm up your home and cool down the prices at B&B Furniture's massive winter sale. Get up to 25% off store-wide on stunning sofas and suites, stylish dining furniture and cozy beds and bedroom sets. Plus, with 0% finance available, you can buy now and pay later with no extra cost.
The winter sale is on now, so get down to B&B.
Gilg,
the Manx Gaelic, Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Alian Vanin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 24 minutes now before one. No gritting got done in Port Erin. Texter 500, lots of people walking very tentatively, even on the road. A&E's going to be very busy today. I wouldn't have said it with anything to do with DOI employees going from 300 to 90. Well, who knows? I'm a teacher at St Ninian School. I was instructed to stay home early on, so I stayed at home. Thank you. I presume you did some work as well. Forgot to say, ice on the road means fewer cars close to the schools. Sorry, Desmond, you're not making any sense. I think that got corrupted in the sending. Why don't they pump seawater on the runway? There's lots of it available. Well, I'm presuming there's a very matter-of-fact answer to that, but it's a good point. Salt water will disperse ice, or whether seawater won't be as effective. But anyway, if you can dispel that rumour, then tell us. Thank you, Rob, for that. Why don't they just pump seawater onto the ice? Well done to all the DOI staff who worked non-stop and kept the arterial routes open, even though they're seriously down on manpower. How many more can they lose before we end up in trouble during an event? Well, a lot of the arterial routes were done, but there were many places, including on many housing estates, that just weren't done, just weren't gritted. Tony said, let's face it, apart from the snow yesterday, I think the airport is poorly run by the current management. We seem as an unreliable place to do business because we have the wrong people in the wrong jobs. We don't quite know. And whenever we talk about the airport, it's always pointed out that it's compartmentalised, in that various departments do various bits of the airport. So whether or not the management can actually affect the whole airport, we don't really know. Do you remember when Gary Cobb was on, when he was airport director, talking? There were other things, certain things, that he absolutely had no jurisdiction over. I've got a different view about school closures. What would some people have said if children and adults had slipped on ice and broken bones? Or there were serious car accidents? The pavements, I think, were treacherous yesterday, and they still were until 11 a.m. today, where I live in Ramsey, right by Ramsey Grammar School. Better to be safe than sorry, just for one day, says John. My daughter is a nurse, and in previous time, when we had issues due to snow, the civil defence picked her up from home in a 4x4 to get her to work when she was unable to get to work. She hasn't been affected this time. Ironically, she's in France skiing. Thank you, Steve, in snowy Oncombe. What a hero to Judith. I love her show, says Karen. Well, many people do, Karen. And congratulations to Judith for legging it up Douglas Head Road on Sunday evening. Surely when something is in force, it's being applied, as in a weather warning. There's nothing sinister in everyday language. Thank you. Also, the biggest issue closing the schools, it impacts the economy due to parents staying off to care for children. So every time schools are closed and parents need to parent, as it were, rather than letting the children go to school, it affects the whole economy. I just wonder whether people realise that when they're just waving their arm and closing schools, says Ian. The government shuts schools and many teachers either go to work or they can work from home like many other employees. Plenty of paperwork to do for this. Do we want our children walking on pavements where cars are sliding around? Same copy of the other one. I agree with Stephen and Peter. The pensioners are a nuisance to the government. The tax system discriminates against them because they have no mortgage or rental costs, says H. Thank you for those. And also, I deliver at night and I never saw a gritter. Ah, but where were you? Thank you for the email. Teachers aren't paid for holidays. Their wages divided into 12 months for convenience. Teachers often work during the so-called holidays to catch up with a mountain of other stuff they do besides actual teaching. Holidays are for children. And many teachers think summer holidays are just too long. I left teaching partly, says H, so I could take real holidays and mostly choose when to have them. It's much cheaper. So all the best to you. Thank you, H, for that. Whereabouts did you teach, H? And what do you do now? Let's get to the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Haywood. The first normal working day of 2026 did not go to plan, it's fair to say, after snow and ice caused widespread disruption across the Isle of Man. Now, questions have been asked about how gritting was taking place and decisions around weather events. So here is the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Haywood, MHK.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be good news for the morning. So the yellow weather warning is in place for ice and we've got some wintry showers. But by morning, the wind direction is going to change and there'll be some cloud cover come in as well. So we will start to see a thaw. Things will move up. There'll be some milder air coming across us. It won't feel, I'm not allowed to say warmer, but it won't feel quite as cold, apparently. So it may be we see a bit of a slow start in the morning just as we escape that overnight ice, but conditions should warm up during the day and that should result in the clearance of most of the lying snow and ice that we've got certainly down at low levels at the moment.
How confident are you that our winter operations match what would be considered best practice elsewhere?
I'm mightily impressed by the team. I've explained to somebody today, you know, between buses and highways and the airport, the DOI has a number of fingers in the weather conditions and the response to it. I need a huge shout out to all the officers who were working all the way across the weekend to deal with the conditions, who've worked overnight, who've started in the early hours this morning, planning and evaluating the data from the Met Office. And they're obviously, you know, they're staffed 24 hours a day. So they're busy pulling the latest forecast runs and providing the best advice they can to not only their DOI colleagues, but other government departments as well. And I think, you know, you've seen across the weekend and through today, the officers and workers within DOI have absolutely stepped up to being able to respond to this as best we can. We've not managed to keep every road open. We can't keep out some of the smaller estates. We obviously can't get to, but we have tried our very best to keep the island moving as much as we can.
Michelle Haywood, MHK, the Infrastructure Minister. Sharon dropped a note in. Age Concern Shop in Ramsey take all greetings cards for use in their craft workshop. So if you have lots of Christmas cards or other greetings cards, Age Concern Shop in Ramsey will take them.
Q-Plus is much more than a plumbing and heating trade counter. Come and explore the largest bathroom showroom on the island, where we're always updating our displays and stocking the latest bathroom designs and trends to make sure we have just what you're looking for. Visit Q-Plus on Snugborough Trading Estate or find us on Facebook to see some fabulous bathroom inspiration.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you when creating beautiful, lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail, we offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
At Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road, enjoy up to 70% off selected Christmas items. Brighten your season with unbeatable bargains. Open 7 days a week. For holiday cheer and great deals, there's only one Ramsey Garden Centre.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 12:45. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm a milkman, says Neil in Douglas, and the roads were disgusting. The DOI should earn their wages. Whereabouts were you? The roads weren't very good. I mean, is it... I don't know what it's incumbent on them to do. Presumably the main arterial routes, but lots of routes are kind of de facto arterial routes, even though they may not... You know what I'm talking about. Old Castle Town Road. We live on the Old Castle Town Road. We couldn't leave our house yesterday. Not a gritter in sight, says Dee. MCALs at Nobles didn't function yesterday, presumably because nurses who run it didn't attend work. As a former nurse, I remember ploughing through 4 miles of deep snow to get to work. Not much of that around these days, it seems. Thank you, Dee, and I hope... 4 miles... Well, you just wonder, don't you? And again, this is down to perception. Years and years and years ago, people used to plough through things. Nowadays, for whatever reason, there's far more health and safety. There's far more of a, well, certainly in the UK, not here, but a litigation culture, as in if somebody is forced to do something and it goes wrong, then in comes the litigation. But no win, no fees, illegal on the Isle of Man, doesn't happen. So I'm posing a serious question to you. Do you think we are becoming less hardy 20, 30, 40 years ago? Certainly more. Bit of snow, it would have been off you go to school. Nowadays, perhaps we're now more risk averse than we used to be. Perhaps we worry about the consequences more than people used to in the past. Perhaps that says something about the way our society is. But I'd like your opinion. Are we becoming less hardy than we were?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Next month, February, the budget's going to be presented to Tynwald for members' approval. But one aspect that's attracted criticism, well, it attracted criticism 12 months ago, and it's likely to do the same this time. Especially as the heavyweight Tynwald committee has just told the government that the practice of continuous borrowing against reserves is just plain wrong. Their words, just plain wrong. Is the Arbury and Castletown and Maloo MHK chairman of that committee, Jason Morehouse.
It's back to what was said by key politicians in the 1980s, that in terms of an economy, it's like a household in terms of we need to be looking at the income that's coming in and the spend. And if we're spending more than the income and we're having to fall back on the reserves every single year...
Wasn't the idea of getting these reserves, though, so that we could, in times that are tough, go to these reserves and use them?
But are we in a position at the moment where times are tough? We had the situation after
people
COVID.
People might say, yes, they are quite tough, particularly as we've got things like the minimum wage coming in, which is going to put more strain on various businesses, etc., all these sort of things. Yeah, people will say, yeah, we're finding it hard.
And that's exactly what the committee said, John, in terms of we've got a government that's not actually considering the impact of what is happening in the wider economy.
Governments. You used to be an economics teacher, so yeah. What should the government be doing?
I think
just leaving the reserves alone?
Yeah, at a time like this, we should be building them up because, you know, we are in a good position and the unexpected does happen. We've had the lockdowns, we've had COVID. It's only 15 years ago, 2009, slightly over 15 years ago, when we had the cut in our revenue sharing agreement.
The VAT, the famous VAT.
That was a massive drop.
But reserves are there, presumably, to spend, aren't they? I mean, not all of them, obviously, but a percentage.
But at the same time, if we use the National Insurance Fund that should be allocated to the NHS for a more broad spend, then there's an issue that we're actually balancing the books by falling back on things that really should be there for a rainy day.
Well, there we are. That's another conundrum then. Is this a rainy day or is it not a rainy day? Jason Morehouse says we shouldn't be spending against reserves, shouldn't be borrowing against reserves. It's just plain wrong that all the hard work that was done by those politicians 40-odd years ago, from the middle of the 1980s onwards, that money is there for a purpose. And remember, we were up the creek. We had a paddle, but we were up the creek. 1984, 2,000 people out of work. £1 million in the kitty. We were paying welfare bills from month to month. And the government of people like Sir Miles Walker, all those politicians found the will, the wit and the wisdom to get us out of the hole and to build up reserves. So nearly 2 billion compared to 1 million, that's some going. That's testament to the work that various administrations have made since the mid-1980s. But again, this comes down to the fact, should we be borrowing against those reserves or should we be rolling up our sleeves? I walked to Onchan from Onchan to the old nobles many years ago. Some of the night staff waited till I got there, then went home. I stayed overnight so I could be there the next day. Lots of staff were stuck in deep snowed areas. I just wonder who would do that now. Too many people employed by the government regarding health and safety. This is thank you 648. And the environmental issues over the last few years. We need to get rid of these jobs. They're costing businesses millions of pounds. The issues with the coal tar, de-icing products, weed killer, etc., never used to be a problem till the government employed people who've made it a problem. I wonder how Israel and Russia are getting rid of waste material. Is it all going to landfill? Well, we could ask them. Are we less hardy? Yes, it is the nanny state, and I think it's here to stay, says 500. 500. More messages can come in. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but ice on the runway means fewer flights. More eco-friendly. Win-win. Ice on the roads, fewer cars, no fumes. Close the schools, less education. Keep people dumb. Oh, my word. Desmond, what have you been eating? This morning on the news, the infrastructure minister explained she was really proud of the DIY over the past few days, says 100. Is she proud that all the schools were shut? The mountain road was shut. Most other roads weren't gritted. Lots of people had to take an extra day off work. In my case, unpaid. The buses weren't running. The airport was shut. So what was she actually proud of? Liz dropped a note in regarding the travel disruption yesterday. My son was due to go back to work yesterday to Brazil, but he couldn't fly off the Isle of Man for his connecting flight. Everything was pre-booked. So who's going to pay for all this? There was, apart from the distress of it all, of people not being able to get off or people being able to come back to the Isle of Man, lots of money involved here. And I don't know whether travel insurance covers a lot of it. Because obviously it's not holiday insurance. People were visiting relatives. I just wonder if you're trying to claim on your insurance whether or not it's going to be applicable. Is there an update for MyCard users? Says Will. I spent Christmas worrying about a neighbour having issues as they don't want to use or they don't trust banks. They have social anxiety, now added stress about where the next meal is coming from. so that the Isle of Man government can get digital ID in through the back doors. The island has had a lot of battles this year to take back our island before the government has sold the clothes that we stand up in, says Will. A critical report was published at Christmas about the growing size of government and the use of reserves. Good timing, says Gaz, perhaps to avoid the public awareness and comment. Well, Gaz, you brought it up, so everybody will know about it now. And again, another comment about gritting in Port Erin. Was it particularly bad in down south? What was the gritting like? I was on the flight on Friday. The recollection of that guy was right regarding... Oh, it was not correct. Sorry, I beg your pardon. The aircraft actually left late by 25 minutes. If they'd left at 5:30, there wouldn't have been a problem. Can you imagine an uproar if ATC made a mistake? Yeah, one thing we need to get straight. Whenever we talk about air traffic control, nobody's having a go at the air traffic controllers. All right? Nobody's having a go. The air traffic controllers work under very strict rules for very good reasons, because if they make a mistake or a mistake is made, then the consequences could be cataclysmic. So they work under rules and they have to work a certain time, and they then have to have what's called a fatigue break, often characterized as a tea break. No, it's fatigue, tiredness, because they have to concentrate very, very hard on what they're doing, because letting aircraft bump into each other at height is not a good idea. So the air traffic control, the issue at the moment is we don't have enough air traffic controllers. How we got in that position, nobody really knows. We know how many air traffic controllers we need, whether or not there's an issue with recruitment, training, retention, we don't know. But we just never seem to have enough air traffic controllers. There's no de-icing fluid for use by the airport to get the runway serviceable. They have anti-icing fluid, but not de-icing fluid. Therefore, they should treat the runway with the anti-icing prior to any deposit falling. Obviously, if they had de-icing fluid, they could allow the contaminant to fall and then clear the runways and taxiways. They've been trying to use anti-icing fluid to do this, but of course it has no effect whatsoever. This is all about yesterday. This is why they've had a runway closure for most of the morning and are actually having to wait for the sun to come up to melt any deposit. Well, I think we've got it straight. Actually, as luck would have it, a week on Friday, the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Haywood, is going to be on Man in Line, so there'll be lots to talk about there. In the meantime, you want to get in touch, the answer phone's on, or you can email maninline@manxradio.com. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Thanks to Chris on the phones, and thank you for getting in touch. Even if you don't phone, call, text, email, or WhatsApp, we really appreciate your attention.